Today's program of Bagels and Blessings was previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings.
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, Shabbat.
I'm so glad you're listening to the program today. I interviewed Rabbi Michael Wolf just a few days ago. He has an announcement to make, and he's doing an exclusive interview right here on Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned. That was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sittel, and let's start things off with Hava Nagila. Let us rejoice. This is Marty Goetz.
Nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, benisfaha. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, benisfaha. Hava, neranana, hava, neranana, hava, neranana, benisfaha. Hava, neranana, hava, neranana, hava, neranana, benisfaha. Urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim b'lev sameach, urachim, urachim b'lev sameach.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, benismacha. Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, benismacha.
Hava, neranana, hava, neranana. Havan ranana benismacha, Havan ranana, Havan ranana, Havan ranana benismacha. Uru, uru, achim, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, b'lev sameach, urachim, urachim, b'lev sameach.
Habana,
ranana, Havana ranana, Havana ranana, Venistaha. Havana ranana, Havana ranana, Havana ranana, Venistaha. Burachim b'lev sameach, burachim b'lev sameach, burachim b'lev sameach, burachim b'lev sameach, burachim, burachim b'lev sameach, burachim b'lev sameach.
This is Marty Goetz, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is sponsored by Congregation Shemaya Israel. We are a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles that worship Yeshua the Messiah. Our services are every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. We're located at 1326 North Winton Road in Irondequoit. While you're at Shemaya Israel, please visit the Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop. It's open every Saturday after services around 12 o'clock noon. It's also open on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 12 to 5. At the Fig Tree, you can buy cards, jewelry, books about sharing Messiah, talit, shofars, and so much more. That's the Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop right at Shema. And if you live in the Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo area, and you'd like to visit a Messianic congregation, please visit Congregation Brith Hadashah. They are at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst. Their services are every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. What was that song that you heard in the background during that commercial? Didn't it sound amazing, sort of Mediterranean? Well, you know what? It was Ted Pierce, and it was a wonderful song that I'm going to share with you right now called Zealous Over Zion.
Just lay. I will dwell in Jerusalem. I will dwell in Jerusalem.
Hey, this is Ted Pierce coming to you live from the Bagels and Blessings Convention in Pennsylvania. You are listening to the greatest show on radio, and aren't you glad?
And now, here's a word from Odell Chiropractic.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh, oh, oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
And say hello to Greg Silverman. Here's a great song called Floodgates.
Are full, they are heavy, about to pour on thankful hearts. We are devoted to being thankful, so let the flood of the blessings start. Pour out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Flood that the breath of the Lord drives. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Let his heaven invade our lives. Pour out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Next, here's a song that will just put you right into the Holy of Holies. This is called Glory Come Down. It's from Paul Wilbur's CD, Your Great Name. And when I hear this song, I just feel so close to the Lord. I hope that it does something for you too.
I long to find you in your secret place, O God, under the shadow of your wings. Here in your presence, there's no place I'd rather be. I need you more than anything. Glory, come down. Glory, come down. Glory, come down. Like a mighty rushing wind, rise up and worship as we sing. All creation longs to hear the joyful sound of the returning of our.
Thank you.
We recently celebrated the holiday of Shavuot, and I just know that the Lord loves you so much, and we all want to be filled to overflowing with more and more and more of the Lord's Spirit. And listening to good worship music like that is one good way to just really feel the Lord's presence, you know? So, again, that was Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And stay tuned for a great interview coming up with Rabbi Michael Wolf. Changes in the air. The Europa Deli and Cafe, now together in one big room. They may have taken away the seating, but they haven't taken away the flavor. Now you can get delicious baked goods and pastries to go, as well as pierogies, fish, herring, and other European delicacies. The Europa Deli and Cafe is located at 1694 Penfield Road. Their phone number is 385-2040, and they're open Mondays, Tuesdays, and Saturdays from 10 to 6, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 to 8, and Sundays from 11 to 4. Come on into the Europa Deli and Cafe, and you will be so glad you did. Good. And here's Corey Bell with Lev Shalom, Hatov Shimcha.
We bless you. We gratefully acknowledge you in worship and in praise. In all the ways, may your name be blessed. In all the ways, may your name be blessed. In all the ways, may your name be
People are always telling me that my hair is adorable. Where do you get your hair done? They always ask. I go to Jardé's Hair Salon. It's located at 2433 Lyle Road in Rochester. Their phone number is 585-429-6623. Enjoy a session that's all about you and a relaxing, rejuvenating environment at Jardé's Hair Salon. Their professional staff will always aim to please, and they will ensure that your experience is a memorable event. Be sure to give them a call today. That's Jardé's Hair Salon and Spa, 429-6623. They are your hair color specialists, and they provide facial waxing and men, women's, and children's hair cutting, hair coloring, highlighting, permanence, and nails. Jardé's Hair Salon. You'll be so glad you checked them out.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Did you know that Israel is now using gold to cure cancer? Israel's Technion Institute is experimenting with laser beams and nanoparticles of gold. The cancer treatment is completely non-invasive with no side effects because it only zaps the cancer cells and not the healthy tissues. Over 7 million people die every year of cancer. Once again, Israel's efforts will be a wondrous blessing to the nation's families. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to roiminute.com. That's roiminute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shammah Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammah Yisrael. That's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammah Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I just wanted to remind you that today's show is pre-recorded, so there won't be a coupon giveaway today, but please tune in next Saturday where I'll be live in the studio and you'll definitely have a chance to win a coupon for bagels. And now here's my exciting interview with Rabbi Michael Wolff. Rabbi Michael Wolff, welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you.
You know, I really like being surrounded by creative people, and you happen to be one of the most creative people that I know. You have written a few books, and you wrote and produced an amazing movie, Sound of the Spirit. I liked your book, The Upper Zoo, and now there's something very exciting about to happen. Do tell us.
Okay. Yes, this is my second book. I wrote and directed the Sound of the Spirit, which, as you know, Guy Kamara of Kingdom Pictures produced. And I wrote this other book, which was published by Destiny Image, called The Upper Zoo, and that came out in 2012. This book is called The Linotype Operator, and that is an old-fashioned way of printing and publishing newspapers and other materials, even books, that kind of went by the wayside when computers came in, really, in the late 1970s. All of the New York Times newspapers were used the linotype machine. It's hot metal press and it type of thing. And so this is about an Orthodox Jewish man in in his late 70s in Brooklyn, who used to be a linotype operator for the New York Times. And it all takes place in Brooklyn and in Manhattan, and it includes various monuments and different kind of landmarks, I should say, not monuments, in the Brooklyn and the Manhattan area. It also takes place a little bit in northern New Jersey. And it's about him and his Orthodox Jewish daughter, his Orthodox daughter, who is in her late 40s and never been married, and she's a very she's very devoted to him, and yet she really wants to get married. And then he has a younger daughter who is married as well, who lives in northern New Jersey. And you know, the book is really, really, I would hazard to say there's a depth to it that I pray, I hope, I trust people will really pick up on, that has to do with the image of God, the glory of the God of Israel, as he is reflected in the nations through the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And the whole development in the book that occurs when she kind of becomes infatuated with somebody, a Gentile man who comes to the counter of her department in Manhattan's Macy's, and how she develops this relationship in the book, and how there are all kinds of plot twists and developments and complications that get involved with. I'm not going to do spoilers, but he's in a line of business where he ends up having some responsibility to deal with her brother-in-law, and as things move on, they get more complicated. There are various kind of interesting and sometimes funny characters. This is really a book with a lot more humor, even though it's not a comedy book. There's a lot more irony and humor and wry humor in this book than there was in the Upper Zoo. And as it develops along, there's kind of an undercurrent of theological things that go on. There are theological points that are brought to bear, but in the concept of storytelling, it is not done, you know, as a theological treatise or to weigh the book down or anything like that. They happen in the course of the plot of the characters as they develop, and these questions, these big questions, get asked about who's God. This man serves. He is a believer, and how this relates to who she is. And it is not preachy. It crosses over. It is blurbed by very well-known authors that are not part of our community or the faith-based literature community. In the back of the book, you'll see that Jacqueline Machard, who wrote the first Oprah selection and number one bestseller, The Deep End of the Ocean, her present book is called Two If I See, blurbs it on the left, and a very well-known Jewish poet from Manhattan by the name of Shuri Stratfield blurbs the other side of the back cover. And so the book is really a book that can reach out beyond our community. It has universal concepts that anybody can identify with, and yet it has themes that are very much a part of who I am as a person of faith, a Messianic Jew and a Messianic rabbi and so forth. And so, I hope it's people experience as they did the Upper Zoo, that it's a page-turner. I don't know that it will turn pages as quickly for some people. Maybe it'll turn more quickly than others. I've known people to take several weeks because they're very busy. Jenny Getz absolutely adores this book and is going to be mentioning it on her Facebook pages, her and Marty's, in about a week. But she took a little longer because she's so busy. On the other hand, certain people have read it in 4 hours. So, you know, and it's 280 pages long and, you know, 93,000 words, so it's not like a short story.
Well, let me just interject that I was privileged to read an advanced copy, and I couldn't put it down, and I had it, the whole thing read within a day. It was just so good. And I have to ask, what was your inspiration? Why a linotype writer? Like, what made you think of that?
I have a fascination with Victorian inventions. The original first title was going to be Victorian Inventions. I have a fascination with the inventions of that era. And so this invention is that was fascinating to people in that era. Edison, who did not invent it, a man named Morgenthaler invented it from Germany. Edison called it the eighth wonder of the world because it's such a contraption that does so many things in order to get these lines of type made out of lead, basically, to line up and to create the pages. Before that, it was all movable type and, you know, one letter at a time and clumsy and difficult, and things took much longer. This allowed people to sit there and type on an odd-looking keyboard, and everything began to happen. These matrices of little letters would come down, these channels, they would line up. There would be hot lead poured into another part of it that would come down and mold these lines of sentences that would then put in various places to create the page. These people at places like the New York Times, they were almost like secondary editors, and they were people of tremendously high value and respect, and the linotype operators. And it's a fascinating machine, and I think that struck me, and all of the things that moved me about that era and the challenges of moving forward. You know, the linotype operator was replaced, and there is, of course, a 20th and 21st century model beyond, you know, the shtetls of Eastern Europe. And that old, you know, theme of, you know, moving forward that we see, and the challenge to our children living in this country or living in the world we live in today that we see in different ones of Britain, either from other nations that come over here in the assimilation or in Fiddler on the Roof, or in many other ways. I mean, that becomes a little bit a part of the novel. And so, you know, I'm fascinated with the era, and I love New York, and I had to do a lot of research to get it right, everything, but because I don't live there 24 hours a day by any means. But, but you know, it's interesting. There's a little bit of suspense or a little bit of intrigue related to, you know, the underworld. There is different kinds of Jewish people. There's the Shlemiel. There's the kind of reformed suburban Jew. There's the Orthodox Jews. There's the Chabad Jew. There are different people from various different backgrounds. There's the evangelical Christian. There's the kind of, you know, high church, you know, not really involved person who considers himself, you know, or there's the secular person. There's so many different ones. There's the, you know, the police inspector and just various different personages from various different walks of life that are in the book.
Also, you have an insight into how women think. I remember reading it and thinking, as I was reading the parts about the woman and her relationship with the guy, and I thought, wow, I don't know how Rabbi Michael has all this insight into how women think, but that really impressed me as well.
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, the scene where she's at the sink and looking at her face and not liking what she sees, and I don't want to ruin the novel for anybody, but things like that. I think one of the things that my friend Alan, who lives in Ann Arbor and does messianic work there, he worked a linotype machine. And one of the things I did with this thing is I had people from New York read it, like Sherry Phelps Radfield. She lives in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
She's a poet. She lived right next door to Seymour Philip Hoffman, and he died, and her latest book of poetry is about that. She's been great. She's a quintessential New Yorker. She's, you know, one of the, you know, key figures in her Reform synagogue. So to have somebody like that read it and tell me that I got New York right. I have a Jewish man in Cincinnati who lived in New York and lived right in Prospect park across from the Cherry Esplanade, which is talked about in the Esplanade, which is talked about in the book. And he actually, as children, they would choose different trees there to, you know, when they were in elementary school. And I got one thing wrong about the direction of a subway line. He corrected that. And so Alan, he actually verified my accurate descriptions of the Linotype machine and so forth. And what one of the things he said to me was that it amazed him, and I'm just saying what he told me, you know, I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm glad to hear that he reflected on this, that so many different people are depicted and the way that they view the world. And I think it's really important when we write fiction to understand we're not trying to get everybody to shape or mold themselves into the way we would see things. One of the things that happens is in the very beginning of the book, we find out that this Orthodox Jewish man who's very devout, but who has a real heart for people who are not like him, or the other, as you might put them, and seeing God's image in them, these things all become the dynamics of how he has to address various things through the novel. But this is what we see in the beginning, where in terms of his own family. But this is what we see in the beginning, is that he wants to do the mitzvah, which my father-in-law used to do, of on Christmas Day going and replacing the Christians in their lines of work, which are very key and strategic, as a mitzvah to show that we're in unity with the rest of the world, that we as Jews have something to bring. You know, this is the attitude, and so to be really to help out and to take the pressure off these devout for these Christians that are celebrating Christmas. And he goes to the hospital there, and he in Brooklyn. And he goes to the children's ward, and he puts on a Santa hat. Now, the interesting thing about this with our Messianic community and also the community of Gentiles who are very strong on Jewish-orientated things and concerned about, you know, this is the way people are going to possibly think, some people, like, well, you shouldn't have that in there because, you know, what are we saying? Is that what Christmas is about? Or, you know, this is some pagan influence, and we're concerned about this or that. That isn't the way David Kaplan thinks about it. For him, that hat represents his connection to these children who are dying of cancer and how he can identify and reach out to them and care for them. It's all about how he lives his life, not how I live my life. It's not about me. It's about each character. And that also applies to the women in the book, like Naomi, the protagonist, and the way that I depict her as a woman feeling the different challenges that she has with her own feelings about herself, her appearance, with her fascination with and interest, you know, and, you know, infatuation is a good word, you know, that develops there with this guy, and how things go on, her imagination, and how she dreams of things that aren't in her own life in terms of a man, and how she, you know, struggles with the world around her, and how to have to choose, you know, between something that looks like what she's seen in the movies but has some real value to it and weight to it in itself, which is this man with a godly attitude, and this other guy who's the Nebbish, who wants to marry her and who is constantly reminding her of it, and her thinking various times in the book that this is what she's destined for and needs to settle for. So, you know, you try to get inside a person's thinking and understanding and try to really develop a character that's believable and that's related, that has its own, you know, context to it, the different ones. And I hope that people understand that.
Oh, yeah.
When they read the book.
You did a great job. I mean, you combined, you know, mystery, romance, a little humor, and of course the history of the Linotype machine. Well done. And now that everyone is all excited about what we've shared, tell us how we can get a copy of the Linotype writer.
Right. As of the time of this broadcast, this should be available on Amazon. And if you have Amazon Prime, it, of course, comes in 2 days and without shipping. If you don't, it'll still come very quickly, as books tend to, on Amazon. The other companies will have that. I'm not sure on the timing. My publisher has been working hard to get everything in shape. It could be that the digital version lags a little bit behind, but I will say that I just got the final copy of it with the matte cover and the cream pages and this the thicker than the one that was the advanced reader's copy and much more beautiful. And I'm just so impressed with how the paperback looks. And the interesting thing is the paperback is exactly the size, basically in thickness and in dimension of the Upper Zoo. So if you have or you want to purchase the Upper Zoo, and at our national conference, I will be charging a little bit less than one would get on Amazon, both in the MJAA and the UMJC conferences this summer. I will have this. I will have copies. And I'm going to make a deal with people, okay?
Such a deal!
Such a deal. A little bit cheaper, a dollar or two cheaper, a couple dollars cheaper for the book. And also, if they don't have the others, I'll bundle all three together, The Sound of the Spirit, the motion picture on a DVD, and the Upper Zoo and the Lion Type Operator, and give them a deal. Give them a real deal.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
Operator are exactly the same size. So they kind of really, fit together in terms of size.
That's
it's
amazing.
6x9. So I'm very excited. This book has taken me 2.5 years to write. I'm about 26,000 words into the sequel.
That was my next question.
Yeah. So
there is a sequel.
There's a lot more stuff happening spiritually and everything else in the Lion Type Legacy.
Ooh.
And, it's still in process. So I was working on it a little bit today. And it's a challenge, to keep these things going. But this book took me 2.5 years to write. And I can remember being at the Messianic Jewish Alliance Conference, and my publisher was there. She is a believer, Jewish believer, even though the company is one of the most prestigious poetry companies in the world, all kinds of award-winning poets. And yeah, she's doing the fiction as well. But people know about Finishing Line Press. I've befriended a lot of her friends, and there are quite a number of them. It's kind of mixed up with Jacqueline Machard's friends, but on Facebook. But Betsy Lerner, who just wrote this, The Bridge Ladies, which is probably the number one memoir in the world right now on Amazon about her Jewish mother. All these people are Facebook friends of mine, not because I know them. I don't. But because they all connect with either Jacqueline Machard, but Jacqueline Machard, even though she's Simon & Schuster, connects very strongly with Finishing Line Press. So Finishing Line Press is a very prestigious company, and this is the company I'm going with, right now. And so, the book is beautifully bound. It's a paperback. It's not a hardback. And so I could say that. Yes, the digital version will come out. I know that people will want to read that. A lot of young people like that, and it may not come out simultaneous with the book, but my publisher is working very hard to make that available. And as soon as possible, it will be available on Amazon and other outlets, Barnes & Noble, elsewhere, hopefully the different ones, iBooks. But right now, what is coming out this Friday is going to be the paperback, and it's great summer reading. That's all I have to say. Great summer reading.
And you heard it first right here on Bagels and Blessings. That's great. Well, I am so excited for you, and I'm sure your family's very proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I'm just thankful to be able to do it and that the Lord has. I always pray before I write, and I ask the Lord to just help to get the vision on the page. And the theme of this book is very dear to my heart, the reflection of the God of Israel in the nations and then back to Israel, and just the extraordinary work of love that God has for the world and for our Jewish people and for the whole world, and the preciousness of Israel and the Jewish people. It's just... you know, and his sight and just so many other dynamics, you know, that it was a joy to work, to write about. So very, very, very much a joy to write about. So.
Well, well done, Rabbi Michael, and I look forward to your next book.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that so much. I really appreciate you, Eflin, and your and the show, Bagels and Blessings, and all that you do.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, you're going to be running out to your computer, Amazon.com. Look for the Linotype Writer. Let's
Linotype
sell
operator.
Out. Linotype operator. Sorry about that. The Linotype Operator. Let's sell out all those books. Let's buy them all up. All right, Michael, this is great. Thank you so much, and we will be in touch, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right, folks, that was my interview with Rabbi Michael Wolff. Be sure to go to Amazon.com, order your copy today of The Linotype Operator. It's a wonderful book. You're going to love it. And hey, we got time for another song. Here's the group Lamb, Year of Jubilee.
Shall see when the Lord set the captives free. It is the year of Jubilee. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Sound the trumpet, Israel. Let all the people hear. It is I, the Lord your God, who draws you near. I have not forsaken you, so have no fear. It is the year of Jubilee. It is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and the blind shall see. When the Lord set the captives free. It is the year of Jubilee. Die, 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 die. Sound the trumpet everywhere, let his praises ring. Yeshua has redeemed mankind, salvation he brings. For by his precious sacrifice are we here standing free. It is the year of shall walk and the blind shall see. When the Lord set the captives free, it is the year of Jubilee. It is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and the blind shall see. When the Lord set the captives free, it is the year of Jubilee. It is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and
again, that was the group Lamb with the Year of Jubilee. And believe it or not, we are just about out of time. Another program draws to a close. I just want to remind you that God loves you so much. He really cares about everything that you are going through, and miracles still happen. People are still being healed, and if you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. And right now, it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yager Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yis Adonai panav alecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.